Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, for this edition of Thunderdome Metal Reviews, as we tell our troops to attack the sea in famous Caligula fashion. I am Tracy Newport. With me, as always, my brothers in arms, Ben, David, and Gabe. Get your spears ready. Get your prog ready. We're here for Caligula's horse, Charcoal Grace. How y'all doing tonight?
Nay, nay, motherfucker.
Why such the long face?
Give me hell.
Oh, shit. Yep.
I think so, Ben's ready for it. He's been
I know.
For this
He's
moment.
Like, that's his face right now. Yeah, how you feeling, Ben? What are the happy haps?
I mean, the, what are these? The caramel cold brew M&Ms I'm eating are delicious. This album? Well, we'll just discuss it.
Yes, we will. Things are looking up already. Woohoo.
Yeah, I feel like Tracy, you're about to have a good night. So,
there's some that I know it's how it's going to go, and it just makes it easier to accept fate and just
it
go
does.
With it.
No, and you know he's a clean shooter, so you're not going to be like an elk stumbling with a wound and be right through your neck.
Exactly.
Right in the head. So, why this album? And I know we need to get stats, but Tracy, beyond just your desire to make Ben mad, why this album? I know you said it surprises no one, but explain. Some people are new. I'm sure we have one new
we
viewer.
Have effectively done, this is the third Caligula's Horse album we have done since the podcast started. We did Rise Radiant, I think the month released, we were recording on the pod already at that point in time, and I did that when it came out. We've done In Contact, the album before that one as well, which I think all four of us were on for. And I don't think came away with good remarks from a couple of the members of the pod. I think it was a 50-50 affair there. And
I think I know which 50 too.
Yeah, so. I think everybody knows which 50 as well. But Caligula's Horse is probably one of, it's not quite Rivers of Nihil or the Ocean Collective, but it's a band that I've come to really enjoy a lot and adore. And in fact, one of my favorite albums of all time is the In Bloom or Bloom, and which I have that later on, which I may just change because I don't want Ben to shoot that one to the street just too much. Just the
oh man, but I want to listen to it. I mean, you know, I like this shit.
Oh, yeah,
I'm the one who breaks towards you on this and soon and those other things.
So, but yeah, this is currently a band like I've come to enjoy, and that like anytime a new album comes out, I'm like, I definitely got to listen to it. So,
right on. Witters.
I believe I've hit the entire discography. I can't remember if I listened to the first one or not.
You got to be close. Certainly more than the rest of us. Yeah. Speaking of discography and sequences and information, Ben, what can you tell us about this album's place in the universe?
Well, it is their sixth studio album. It was released on Inside Out Music on January 26th of 2024. A Tracy approved runtime of 1 hour, 1 minute, and 59 seconds. The lineup is Sam Vallon on guitars and vocals, Jim Gray on vocals, Josh Griffin on drums, and Dale Prince on bass. They did bring in Kate DeRippis to play cello, Sophie Willis to play clarinet, Samuel Andrews to play violin, and Victoria Taylor to play trumpet. And it looks like the engineering was done by Jared Adlam, and the mastering was done by Forrester Savelle. I'm not sure. Oh, Sam Vallon did the producing.
And this is, of course, an Australian prog band, so I just keep pulling them out of the woodwork somehow.
You all do like your Australian bands.
Yeah, between this 12-foot ninja, werewolves, the list is pretty long now.
Voyager.
Oh my god, the band, the zombie band we reviewed.
Yeah, not to forget them.
Damn.
So I guess Ben really enjoyed this album because it was bookended with a 10-minute song and a 12-minute song. His favorite moments of any album.
I thought of him. I'm like, he's gonna fucking hate this.
Just cleave the ends of it off. Like, there we go. Save you.
Now it's 40 minutes. And yeah.
So I was looking and I went to their website, which has not been updated in a while. Since like 2022, it didn't look like. Or maybe 23. I don't know. And because I was wondering, because with these prog bands, I always wonder what pretentious wankery are they going to say about themselves in their album. And could not find anything. So I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. So then I went to Bandcamp.
Well,
and this is what Bandcamp has to say. Charcoal Grace is born of the static hopelessness that the pandemic forced upon the band, and indeed, much of the world. These past few years, it is an album reckoning with the experiences and outcomes of this time geared ultimately towards catharsis, moving towards a more hopeful future. The title Charcoal Grace is described by the band as the grim allure and strange beauty in stillness, silence, and loss. This can be heard through the album's 10-minute opening track, The World Breathes With Me, a mission statement for the album's main themes. Musically, it's a work of contrast, moving through the lightest ebb to the heaviest flow. I'll stop there. There's a couple more paragraphs. But I think that gets it across.
Glowing review from Ben here. I already feel it coming. It's almost similar to when we did Will, and you're right. When we did Sowin, and it was their 2022 album. Right? This is our album for the pandemic, and Ben's like, shut the fuck up. No, it's not. That's the vibe I'm getting with that statement.
I do not doubt in the least little bit that is how they felt during the pandemic, and a lot of other people too. And I hope that this has brought them healing and towards a moment of hopefulness.
I hope it has too. Yeah. And you can tell, I think this album is a little bit darker, like in terms of themes that it deals with and the writing, than Rise Radiant was. Cause that one kind of came across as kind of like a little bit more cheerful album. Cause I mean, the entire writing process of that was done pre-pandemic. That was released a little bit after pandemic started.
Well, I'm coming into this only having listened to that one album that we reviewed together, which was In Contact, I guess. And I had a really hard time with that one. So this, to me, was a breath of fresh air. Like,
is it the because, no slam poetry?
Well, it's partially that. There's no random poetry in it. But also, I think that reading their Bandcamp blurb actually also made sense to me after the fact, because it just I connected with this music much more on an emotional level than I connected with the other album. Like they, you know, like the compositions were clearly just more emotional and more sort of like heartfelt. And I think that appealed to me in a really big way. I still found it lacking in, you know, just about any heaviness. And that's fine. They don't have to have, you know, sort of distorted guitars for me to like it. But it would have been nice. And again, I think that the track economy can be off at times, but like on the whole, I had a much better time with this and I was really pleasantly surprised.
David, as the other person who can kind of get to buy in on this a little more better, a little easier, who tends to like this.
Yeah, I thought this was quite pretty. And definitely sadder than the other stuff I heard. And as you know, I'm not going to compare this necessarily to Sleep Token per se, but you know, Sown, I think, is a pretty comparable as a sound that's a lot like this, or other bands. I don't know. We've had a fair amount of those kinds of bands. Wheel. Have we done Wheel yet?
We've done two wheel
yeah.
albums.
Yeah, yeah.
One with you, so. One without you.
That's what I thought. I thought I'd done at least one of those. So they're in that zone too. And the playing is really good. And, I was a little annoyed when I looked at the track length, and it is a little, it's long, but yeah. It's dark and pretty and I think well executed. So I thought this was, you're going to see, I didn't like it. This is a pretty good grade.
Yeah. Which I feel like this album is similar to that. Another band gets kind of tacked him, the Hawken virus album that we did.
Sure.
Where you have like one half is kind of like an EP and the other half is like one kind of very thematic as like, tracks that all were probably initially written as a singular track that kind of got separated in production, which I think happened here, but weirdly that's the meat of the album, and then you have a track or two before and a track or two afterwards kind of like, and they deviate it up instead of where you have like obvious the first half and the second half. And I think it might have been to kind of not have a 10-minute and a 12-minute track on one side and then kind of a track time and kind of evenly spread it, I think, a little more. But I like this one more than I did Rise Radiant. I do think like there is a bit of a darker edge that comes in this than did with In Contact and Rise Radiant. That definitely, I think, is a product, as I said, of the pandemic. Because, I mean, hell, we're 4 years into this fucking ride and I'm getting over COVID this go around. Like, you know, it's still like, we're still fucking here. Like, things have changed, but have they really changed? Not really.
Their lockdown is also a real one. Unlike our fake-ass lockdown that lasted 4 minutes.
Yeah,
it's pretty draconian in Australia, but a lot more of them are alive, proportionately. I'm pleased people are talking about it at all, because you know there's a very wide push across culture to memory hold it again, as was true last time. So, and well, You don't have to get into why that is. No, but any album that's willing to engage with it, I may not listen to it every day, but I applaud them for doing it. I mean, millions of us are missing and no one's saying shit. So this may not be Ben's preferred way to get that across, but it is a way.
Well, it's definitely not my preferred way. But that's, you know, it is what it is. And it's well played. It's well produced. I did not connect to it emotionally, other than like making me want to go take a big bowel movement. Not all music is for everyone, so that's okay. I'm glad that there is a place for these artists to express their grand feelings and show off their virtuosity and guitar wank fests that don't go anywhere. So
I've just never seen F. Holster pop a squat and shit in the street before he shot a man down. That's like a new level of flex. Like, I'm just going to shit on front of you and then kill you. Oh, damn.
Amazing. And when you see him do it, he just stares at you like, what? You going to say something about
it? Oh, he stares at you when he kills you. He stares at you when he shits. Yes.
Yeah.
Look away, I dare you.
Yeah. And I am one of those fans that will eat this mic hurry up. Like, that's for sure. Are we ready to move on to tracks?
Well, I just want to say, like, I can sit down and listen to, like, really incredibly slow sludge stuff that's talking about serial killers for hours, which other people can't fucking stand. So who am I to really, like, yuck somebody's yum? But, you know.
You have a way with words that some of it just don't quite hit, I think, is part of it. Just like.
Oh, shit. Japanese band who's put out 17 albums, all of which are about murderers. Yeah.
Ben's the producer behind them all.
That makes sense to me. All right, Tracy, now you can fire the track machine.
Tracks, all of them. Okay. I actually rather enjoy this album a bit. I think it was kind of weird that I think I should have just done Charcoal Grace's one long track and given me my 24-minute epic and just be done with it.
Tracy, you're not helping.
The Devin Townsend way.
The true prog person way. That's the real way to do it.
To the shock and utter amazement of no one here or anyone who's listened to this podcast before, I didn't like any of them.
None. That's a none, gentlemen. What do you know, Gabe?
So I would pick out just a few of these to say what I liked the most. Golem. I liked Charcoal Grace 3 and 4. So that's Vigil and Give Me Hell. And I also liked Sales. I think it's kind of weird, you know, now that I think of it, that they really put that Charcoal Grace like suite in the middle. Why not just start the record with it, you know, or like, why not just put it at the end of the record? Yeah, I think a little bit what kind of takes it down for me is those just extremely long tracks at the beginning where like, you just want to get into it, you know, you're just trying to get in, and those long tracks are just like an impenetrable wall. You know, for most people, I would say the average listener, you really have to be patient, and not everybody has that patience.
For sure. I don't have a lot to add. Yeah, I do find the placement a little odd, but yeah, I like that run from Vigil and Give Me Hell into Sales. Like that middle bit, as Gabe said, is quite good. I was annoyed at the length of it and the opening closing tracks, but most of these are pretty good. So again, I enjoyed this album. I gave it probably the second best grade we're going to hear tonight, I would guess.
Speaking of grades, I'm going to give it an A-. This is nobody's surprise.
You know, it's going to surprise no one. I'm going to come down slightly to a B+. I did think this was quite pretty, and it was touching, and oof, and it's well played. I enjoyed this more than the other stuff I've heard of them, so this is a B+ for me.
It's a D.
Oh, man. Tracy, it's crawling away, bleeding, but alive. Like, then he shits on it. After shooting it, so
yeah, I'm gonna pull this back up just a tiny bit, and give this a B, an 84. I like this a whole lot better than In Contact, primarily because like for me it didn't come across as pretentious in the same way, and sure. There was something, you know, that was a little bit more accessible about it. There was no random poetry, you know, yes, there's some meandering compositions, but I don't know. I guess I was expecting, you know, it to be mostly kind of light and sweet, which it was. And that's, you know, that's okay on occasion.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually surprised at some of the grades. Like, it's an average is A2, which is higher than I thought it was going to get. I figured it'd be something kind of more of a higher C. So I'll take the win where I get it. Bend it, shoot it in the street. And they didn't Johnny Ringo at his Doc Holiday, so I'm happy with that. I'll take it.
Got to go back in one of the other prog metal bands out there.
I know. I would buy this album. I think I'd get it as a stocking stuff for a bit at this point. Just to, he can't run away from it. It is inevitable. David, would you purchase it out?
I would. It'd make me sad to own it and listen to it. But yes, I would.
How about you, Gabe?
I might. It's not a 100% purchase for me. It's a little bit low for my taste of the grade, but yeah, it's not bad. I would play this at a dinner party for sure.
Never gonna live that statement down, Emma.
I mean, I'm just trying to tell you what like it is. I'm not trying to poke fun at it. It's true. I probably would.
Oh my god. Amazing.
All right. Coming up next, courtesy of Gabe, it's going to be the band Master Sanctus Spelled.
Metal, I know for a fact.
Yeah, something I've never heard of before. So,
it's a very game man. Pick. 83.
Yeah, dude, they've been around forever. I'm just never heard of them.
Yeah, we got some OG American death metal here. 100%. So.
Relocated to the Czech Republic. Which is just a delightful twist. I don't know if he's relocated back to the US, but I don't think so.
Maybe.
But join us again on Thunderdome Metal Reviews.